Tennessee is garnering and the amount of interest that Atlanta is garnering. Tennessee with $100 million of cap space. Look, you can't sign everybody, but you could sign a lot of guys. And the fact they've got a young quarterback that did get better as the year went on with a bad franchise, a respected GM, some draft capital. Tennessee is an interesting place. Like, no one thinks of it because that's kind of where football went to die. But the reality is that if you guys believe Cam Ward is as good, let's just say, as good as Jackson Dart, I think Jackson Dart looked better, you know, his rookie season, but that might be a byproduct of, you know, the talent around him, et cetera. Well, you know, then Tennessee's an issue. It shouldn't be an impediment to the Giants getting Harbaugh, but it's certainly on the table. And then here's another one. Imagine Brian Daboll, who we know is now interviewing in Tennessee. Obviously, he's well thought of by the Raiders as well. If people think that he got a bad shake here, no talent, didn't have a quarterback, Russell Wilson, all that stuff, and you're the Baltimore Ravens, don't the Baltimore Ravens make a lot of sense with a 29-year-old Lamar Jackson to get the best out of him, bring a guy like Brian Daboll in, right?
Yeah, I think Brian Daboll's more viewed as the guy to build up a quarterback from you know, from the, I think Cam Ward makes a lot more sense than a Lamar Jackson, but sure, Lamar Jackson's a great talent, and I think the perception around the league is still on Brian Daboll, a really good offensive mind.
Right.
Not just the quarterback whisperer, which is a term I hate, but not just the develop the young quarterback, but a really good offensive mind. So sure, I think he'd be a candidate there. Like, you know, Flores and him have kind of been connected. I could see that anywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I had another person text me, an NFL guy, saying Jordan is 100% right that Brian Flores is the front runner now for the Steeler job,
right,
which would preclude him from being the head coach in Vegas, which then means if the Vegas Raiders really like Brian Daboll anyway to be the offensive coordinator for Mendoza, maybe they just pivot and make Brian Daboll the head coach. I could see that happening.
I could absolutely see that happening.
So everything's happening right now.
It's crazy. It is.
This is what you want from baseball, but you don't get it.
Exactly right. And, you know, Jordan said it's been like it went from like the Giants picking from a handful of defensive coordinators who nobody was excited about to this crazy.
This is awesome.
9 jobs open, names connected everywhere, some of the biggest coaching names in NFL
history. Can I make a request?
Can we
make it 10 openings? This might be the greatest assortment of coaching talent available in any one particular offseason.
Yeah.
And the New York Jets are like, we're running it back. Aaron Glenn's our guy.
Well,
now, at
I think
some
the plan
point,
has to be for Tomlin next
but
year.
But at some
has to
point, doesn't Darren Moogie and the higher-ups with the Jets ask Woody Johnson to have a conference call if he's not here, and if he is, have a meeting with him and say, Mr. Johnson, we need to bring this to your attention. I don't know how much he pays attention in the offseason or not. And say to Woodrow Johnson, look, there may never be an opportunity like this one ever again. We're going to get a quarterback in the draft. We haven't decided who we're getting, but obviously picking second, we'll get the second best quarterback in this draft behind Mendoza. But there is so much coaching talent available. Can you reconsider Aaron Glenn? And I think the Jets have to have that conversation. I don't think they are.
Yeah.
But now you've got, look, Harbaugh's not going to be the Jet quarterback. I'm taking him out of the mix.
Right.
But assuming Harbaugh takes the Giant job, all right? We all agree Stefanski's second. Tomlin's taking the year off, right? But you got McDaniel. You got Daboll. You got Flores. You have 4 or 5 legitimate, competent coaches, right? Mm-hmm. I think Gannon is a good coach who got fired in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
He's more defensive-minded, obviously, but whatever. He's a good coach. And the Jets are going to sit back, and they're going to say, we're going to give Aaron Glenn 1 more year. Okay, look, you could argue it. There's an argument for that. I'm not going to be an a-hole and say there's no argument for it. I get it. And we're going to say, if Aaron Glenn proves that we were smart and being patient, great, we've got our coach. That's one side. The other side is, if Aaron Glenn fails miserably and proves for a second consecutive year he's not the guy, then we put all our chips in the Mike Tomlin bucket, right?
Right.
With a second-year quarterback that, knock on wood, we got that pick right. Then the Jets become a very good destination. The Jets become this year's Giants. Second-year quarterback, cupboard's not bare, bunch of first-round picks to supplement the roster. Mm-hmm. I could make an argument that the New York Jets a year from now is the best opening in football. Could I not?
Yeah, you can make an argument, okay. I suppose. You can
I'm going to make that argument.
You're going to have three first-round picks. Here's the problem, though. Here's the problem.
Go.
The guy you want to get rid of, I have a real tough time believing is going to be able to turn whichever quarterback they draft into someone that you feel really confident
about. Well, part of this is
and if he does that,
go ahead.
Do you want to fire him?
Well, I think Aaron Glenn needs to hire the single best offensive coordinator available.
Well, they have an offensive coordinator.
I need a better one. Okay.
There's no indication they're firing Hanks.
I know. I know. But it failed here. Okay.
Yeah, but they're not doing it, though, Craig. Like, I'm with you.
It doesn't mean
firing the whole staff. They have some of the best offensive minds in football. Mike McDaniel is one of the best offensive minds in football. I would argue that Brian Daboll is one of the better offensive minds in football. Yeah. There's a lot of offensive minds out there.
We're just sitting.
Just sitting.
We're just sitting.
Sitting.
We're not firing anybody.
Not firing anybody.
I want to fire somebody.
I agree with you.
Kevin Petrillo just got fired by the Philadelphia Eagles.
I wouldn't hire him.
Everybody saw that coming. I don't want him either.
I wouldn't hire
but
him.
I'll tell you what, the Eagles now have the best job for an offensive coordinator. And I tell you what.
Oh, absolutely.
I tell you what, it'll burn your ass.
I know. This one will burn my ass.
Will burn your ass. And by the way, I suggested this the day after Daboll got fired.
Did you?
On my podcast, you can go check it out. I'm sure I can find it for you.
Mm-hmm.
The day after Daboll got fired, I said the Eagles should hire him to be offensive coordinator. He's much better than Petrillo. He'll resurrect that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And now Petrillo got fired.
Yeah.
If I'm Brian Daboll, I have another chance to stick it to Joe Shane and the Giants because I feel like I got fired prematurely.
Yep.
The Eagles need a guy like that.
Right. And
now, I think Mike McDaniel's a great candidate for that job also.
Yeah.
But if I'm Philly, I could stick it to the Giants and get a guy that's going to be in demand to be an OC.
Yeah.
Maybe I want Brian Daboll.
Unfortunately, I don't think they care about sticking it to the Giants. Oh. They do that very well. But I don't disagree with you. And didn't he work with Hurts in Alabama?
I'd have to check that.
I think
that.
He did.
I'd have
so
to check
I think there's
maybe
a relationship there. You go there and win with the best team, arguably, on paper, and with a GM who will help if they aren't the best team on paper by next year. Like, he's the best GM in the business. You go there, you win. That nothing could help.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
so here's
them.
Here's what Google brings up.
Yeah.
Brian Daboll and Jalen Hurts share a strong bond
from
their time in Alabama, where Daboll, the OC, significantly developed Hurts' passing skills, pocket presence, and football IQ. They continue to have a mentor-mentee relationship. Brian Daboll's the next offensive coordinator of the Eagles.
I think it makes sense for both parties.
And by the way, then you follow Kellen Moore's footsteps.
Yeah.
1 year, resurrect your coaching career.
He's get another job.
Have him throw 40 touchdown passes for 4,000 yards.
Yeah.
And now Daboll's
resurrect the passing offense that's been dead for a year plus, right outside the Super Bowl. Get back to at least another NFC Championship game.
Right.
And you are you're the next big time offensive head coach next year.
I'm here for all that smoke.
I think there's an excellent chance that happens.
If I'm the Eagles, that's my guy.
Now, I don't know how much they were connected necessarily outside of Tom Brady wanting to put them together. But if now Flores is not so much connected to the Raiders, right? It was Flores and Daboll
like
going
a combo
to,
deal.
To going to Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that actually meant the two of them. I would still think Tom Brady likes Brian Daboll, even if Flores leaves. But if now Flores is connected to the Steelers, maybe the dream of the two of them as a combo is dead. Philadelphia has now opened up their offensive coordinator job. You go there, you work with a quarterback that you brought to prominence in college.
Super Bowl MVP.
You get him back to another Super Bowl, another NFC Championship game, have him throw for 4,000 yards. He's going to get another coaching job next year.
I think Brian Daboll's the next offensive coordinator to put up Eagles.
I think
that makes a lot of sense.
And it's going to bother
me. And it's
going
to burn your ass.
Because I'm a Daboll guy. I tried to save his job. Craig.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and me alone. I tried very hard.
Well, look, you saved Aaron Boone's job. Leave it at that.
Well,
all right, just leave it at that.
That's true.
Like one coach. You got one coach.
I can only do one at a time.
Yes. One coach who doesn't want to talk to you. That's it.
Maybe
he doesn't.
What the hell?
I'm working on it.
I thought you said.
I'm working on it.
Listen.
I'm working on it.
All right.
All right. I'm working on it.
I don't think he understands what he owes me.
Trust me, we talked about it.
Yeah, no, he owes me.
We talked about it at length.
Is he aware?
He wasn't
aware before, right?
No, he was not.
He was not aware.
Once I came back and he heard
on the sword for him?
I think he heard me and you either with Tiki and Evan or with Boom and Geo.
Yeah.
I forget which one of those two shows he heard that day.
I'm bringing my Yankee shill to the
afternoon. That's when he texted me and said, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
I owe him a thank you.
Yeah.
I go, just send him a game-worn tank top. It'll be fine.
I'll deal with that. Yeah.
That's what I'll do. Here's Sean.
Make me bench coach. I'm in.
Sean's in Yonkers on the fan. Shawnee, what's up?
Craigie, welcome back. C-Mac, what's up?
What's going on, Sean?
All right, let me tell you this right now. Yeah. No John Harbaugh, no Mike Tomlin. Let me tell you, I love your idea yesterday of Rob Saleh becoming the head coach of the Giants. Oh, it makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. Let me tell you something, sticking it to the Jets. The Jets are like that old, worn-out glory hole. The Giants are like that virgin to be had. Come on, it's like revenge porn at its finest.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, stop, Jesus. Sean, stop. And there's a lot to be said about that old glory hole. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want the responsibility of the opposite. Too much pressure. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Never in my life did I have any interest in that.
No.
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 I don't want to be that guy. Because that's the one they go back and tell all their girlfriends about. Ugh.
I'm not sure I'm on the same page with
you. If that's
right
what
now.
It's all about, I don't want any. Yeah. Yeah. I'll explain to you off the air.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure I follow.
Our name producer knows what I'm talking about.
I don't want to be either person.
Yeah, no, yeah, you do.
I don't want to be on the side of either side.
You can go to BYU. Some people want to be.
Yeah.
You don't have a rule at BYU. You know, there's no intercourse allowed.
Right.
And if you do it, you have to self-report. And no joke, they kick you out of school. Can't drink, can't have sex. Okay. Like, these are rules of going to BYU.
Okay.
But they do a different thing there. Like, they do two things. One thing that he was called soaking, okay? And you can look it up. I'm not going to get into that.
I think I have an idea what that is.
Do you?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, you've been to the Wet n' Wild ride at Dorney Park? is that right? The other thing they do.
Drunk through osmosis?
They have this very strange belief. I think of how I can put this and not get myself or us in trouble. Where, remember we joked about the other day, like we grew up, used to see those Mount Airy Lodge commercials with the vibrating beds,
yes,
the heart-shaped beds, and the martini jacuzzi cup, right?
Right. All you have to bring is your love of everything.
That's it. That's right. So at BYU, you're allowed, how do I put this? A mature way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever play with blocks?
Okay. Yeah. The mature way of putting it is, have I ever played with blocks?
Yeah, you know,
I've played with blocks.
The round block goes in the round hole.
Yeah.
The square block goes in the square hole.
Right.
The rectangle block and so and so.
And so on and so,
so
forth.
So you're allowed to put
you could fit the rectangle in the square.
You're allowed to put the block in the hole, okay? Like you played blocks.
Okay.
And then turn on the bed. And that's that. Yeah.
As long as you don't do
exactly.
The movement.
Yeah, yeah, that's allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's allowed.
If it's acting forces upon you, if it's the inertia of the vibrating
so
bed.
So if you're glued together and can't move, but someone is able to put the on button on and the bed vibrates, that's allowed. How about that?
That's
a lot of rules.
That's bizarre.
Quite bizarre.
I wonder how many people take advantage of said rules.
All of them. Come on, 18 to 30-year-old kids?
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Half of them are Tongan, you know, that they convert in the Pacific Islands and bring to BYU.
I know.
Right?
I could see those bed scenes now. The common one, I forgot the condom. They're like, I forgot the quarters. I don't know.
That's strange, but you know, it gets the job done, I guess. Here's Alex in Lake Hiawatha. That's in New Jersey, folks. Hi, Alex. How are you?
Yep, that's like how it's right near you, Craig.
Yeah, yep, out by me, Morris County. Yep,
that's right. I called to talk about Dable to the Eagles. You guys kind of covered it already, but couldn't you just see us losing out on Harbaugh? He goes to Tennessee, and then Dable just goes to the Eagles, and Saquon runs for 300 yards on us. I could really see it.
I mean, could you see it? Yes, but you're leaving out the most important part of that story. If you don't get Harbaugh, I think you will. Big Mac thinks you will. And Dable goes to Tennessee, all good, fine. Or goes to Philly, right? You're still getting Stefanski.
You would think.
Unless Stefanski doesn't want to wait around. And no one's asked Stefanski that question.
Right.
Like, I would love to ask him or his agent, that question. You know, these guys have egos. We all have egos, right? And there's a pride factor involved. It's one thing when you're thought of, you're the number one choice, and you feel good about that. I kind of pick where I want to go because all four, five, six, eight of these teams think I'm the best guy available. Uh-oh, here comes John Harbaugh. I'm now number two. Well, that's a shot to your ego. If I'm, and this is just the way I handle business, if I'm Stefanski and I had a great meeting with the Giants and we're on the same page and it's a great opportunity and I want to coach the New York Giants, and the Giants then say to me, we loved you, great 2 days with you, you're kind of the guy But, man, we got to talk to Harbaugh. At that point, and this might be silly, foolish ego, and I'll own that if you think it is, I'm now immediately looking for a different job. Because I don't want to be your second choice. I need to know that I'm the guy you want. Mm-hmm. And if you want Harbaugh more than me, go get him. But if you go after him and you lose him, don't think you're coming back to me with that same offer. Because I've moved on, or I want the offer you gave him.
Right.
That's the only way I can come back. You follow me on that?
No, absolutely. And I think it's plausible. I would think, here's the only thing that, like, there is a certain coach, like Harbaugh, for example. Say Tomlin hit the market, and Tomlin did want to coach this year. And then suddenly the Giants pivot to Tomlin and say, listen, I know we've been down the road, John, but I'm going to go talk to Tomlin. He's the guy we want, and he gets that vibe.
Yeah.
I could see Harbaugh or Tomlin leaving. They have enough cachet to go wherever they want and feel like, this is the second job off of being fired by the Cleveland Browns.
That's true.
Like, Stefanski, I don't think he's in a position to have that kind of ego.
Okay.
And that's why I asked the question about the domino effect. Like, is he waiting for Harbaugh?
Right.
Like, are they
it's
waiting? Are the rest of the coaches waiting for Harbaugh to take a job so then they know what's left? Like, does he want the Giant job because he loves Jackson Dart and he is just going to wait? And if he goes to the Giants, then he'll have to figure it out and pivot. Or does he want that Giant job so bad? Or does he want the Atlanta job so bad? Or does he want the Tennessee job to go coach Cam Ward so bad that he will wait, see what becomes available, and then go after that
job? That's a great question.
I agree with you. I definitely think there are coaches who have that ego, and
sure,
maybe Stefanski's one. I think it would be I think he needs to focus on what's the best job for him and what's the best opportunity to be successful, because he's not going to get a third time. He's not coming off 19 years of making the playoffs every year.
That's right.
He's coming off of, well, he did win Coach of the Year twice, and, you know,
right,
but he failed.
He
in
also
Cleveland.
Turned his back on Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely.
Right?
So, I mean, I don't think he has the ability to have that ego. If he does,
yeah,
he's making
a mistake.
Yeah, I'm
with you, but you never know.
You never know.
Some guys
it's plausible.
You know, some guys have that ego. Maybe, and they shouldn't.
Or if he doesn't view the Giants as, that much of a better job.
I'm so fascinated that, you know, Jordan said that Falcons' job is highly regarded. Because other than quarterback, they've got a great roster.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about their roster. And I looked up their roster. He's not wrong.
No, it's good.
They've got talent on that roster. And I think once they made the move to Kirk Cousins, they became a different team.
Yeah.
I know Kirk is older, but he's another year removed from the Achilles. And I thought you saw a competent quarterback play. And remember this. If Atlanta beats the New York Jets, now it's pre-Kirk Cousins, you know, taking over and being the full-time guy there. The Atlanta Falcons win that division, and they were in a playoff game this past weekend.
Yep.
And the Jets would have the number one pick. Like, one game.
It's crazy.
One game.
No.
And the Jets have Mendoza. One game.
Yeah.
The Jets had Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, can't we lose the game we're supposed to lose when you start off 0-7?
Don't get me going down
I know.
Don't get me going down this course.
I know. I want to thank...
It takes me to ugly places that people don't like me.
I want to thank our program director. He's my new program director, Ryan, who seems like a hell of a guy.
Great guy.
Went out and bought me a box of bottle caps, which every 43-year-old eats on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I, of course, cherry-picked the root beer ones, though. Straight root beer.
I'm not like a Smartie or a bottle cap kind of candy guy.
Great, no. More for me.
They make me, it's like Tums. That's what I, when I eat them, that's what I think, Tums.
Well, they don't taste like Tums.
Mm.
They're good.
Mm.
They're good.
They kind of taste like Tums. Do you ever have tropical Tums?
Tropical Tums?
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if I've ever had Tums.
You've never had Tums?
I don't think I've ever had Tums.
God bless you.
I have Prilosec. I take Prilosec every day.
Oh, you take Prilosec.
I take Prilosec. Yeah.
That's what I should
do. Yeah, I got that acid reflux.
Yeah.
I take the Prilosec. You can't take the Zantac. Zantac kills people, apparently.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, for real.
Really?
Yeah, people getting cancer and stuff from that I think it's called Zantac, right? Not Prilosec. Prilosec takes care of everything.
There you go.
It doesn't kill you, which makes it a better medicine for me.
I would think that would be one of the main things
I'd look
at.
Those drug commercials.
I know. It's
during football games.
You don't even know what they're about.
You have no
idea.
Don't even
know what they do.
Zybogen. And 45 seconds of a 60-second commercial is all the bad things it's going to do to you.
While you're watching Curb Herbstreit play with his dog.
Oh, don't start Curb Herbstreit.
Well, I'm just saying, that's what the commercial
is.
It's like a golden retriever.
Sure.
They're running through the field. Like, that's what all those commercials are. I don't know what the product is or what the medicine cures, but I know he's having a great time running through the dandelions playing a dog.
The best commercial of all time for a drug company was not Viagra, the other one, Cialis.
Yeah.
When you had the 65-year-old couple, but they're in separate bathtubs.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching that going,
sunset,
isn't the idea that this couple can now get in the same bathtub with each other.
Right.
Isn't that the idea?
That is the idea.
Hasn't been too long taking separate baths.
Yes.
And an adult human being, by the way, should never bathe. You know, it's disgusting.
Why?
Showers only. If you,
I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I took a bath.
Right, what, because you're an adult.
Yeah.
Adults do not belong in bathtubs. You want to go to a jacuzzi? All about it. But an adult male, especially, should never find himself alone in a bathtub.
Why not?
It's disgusting.
What's disgusting about
you're it? Disgusting. I'm disgusting. Well, it's disgusting.
Yeah, you're sitting there for a little bit. It's not
you're
that long.
You're sitting there.
There's plenty of soap and everything.
Yeah.
No. It's funny because
I can't trust the guy that takes a bath.
I haven't taken one forever, in all honesty, but I would. If I had time for a bath.
No.
Oh.
Jacuzzi? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but just
love
a nice
big jacuzzi.
Yeah.
Jets by your buttocks,
mm-hmm.
lower back, nice massage.
Right.
Great.
Right.
Yeah.
But and if you had like.
With bubbles.
If you had like the jet in your bathtub at your house, little jet action, take a bath.
No. No
relax.
I don't bathe.
Relax. You know.
No.
Do you ever have a shower beer?
A what?
A shower beer?
A shower beer?
Yeah, drink a beer while you take a shower?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. You have a
why
beer
would
shower?
I drink a beer in the shower? Doesn't the water get in the beer?
No, not really. You make sure it doesn't get in the beer. Hot summer day.
Do we need to have a talk off air?
No.
Like, you got to squeeze one more beer in that you take
well,
and
no,
you drink
just
in the
a
shower?
Hot, you never had a beer shower before?
No.
A shower beer?
No, I get the concept.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, like, you couldn't wait for 5 minutes.
It's not a regular
minutes.
Thing, but
so,
it's nice.
So on a hot summer day,
yeah.
you're going to take a cold shower?
Yeah. Kind of a cold shower.
With a cold beer.
Yeah.
And while you're lathering up, you're throwing back a Bud Light or something,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
My man.
Absolutely.
All right.
I've done it.
Look.
There you go.
You have nothing but my respect.
That's it.
That's commitment right there.
Absolutely.
That is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the ninth step. Yeah. Stop drinking beer in the shower. Pretty sure it's the ninth step out of 12.
That's not a normal thing. Like, you have a beer shower? A shower beer? I keep saying
he's pointing at two unnamed producers.
Yeah.
He never has. He's lying to you. He just wants to be one of
the
cool
shower,
kids.
Ever? See?
Good. Hold on. Turn on your microphone,
beer
unnamed producer.
Beer in the shower?
Yes.
Ever?
100%.
You're lying. Yeah. You're full of crap.
No.
You're just currying favor to the big guy.
I haven't
guy.
Done it a lot, but like, you know, on a hot summer day.
So why not just take the cold shower and get out of the shower and drink a beer?
Sometimes you want to just relax in there.
Is that right?
Take a nice long shower, drink a beer with it. Yeah. I've done it. I think I saw it somewhere. And
you
I decided
try
to try
this?
It. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and I've also taken baths too.
Oh, stop it.
No, but
sloppy.
No. When I go on the road with the Giants,
you bathe.
There was one place that I went to in particular.
Be careful because the Giants are listening right now.
They can listen.
Maybe no more road trips. You're the guy that bathes.
No, they had a great hotel and there was a beautiful bath. And the first thing I thought
and you're
was
like, I can't help myself.
Yeah, like you know, like in the scene of Titanic when I have to draw you, I have to take a bath. I have to bathe.
That tub is so nice.
So
I have to bathe in it.
When you're in a hotel room. Hopefully by yourself,
yeah.
Because you have a beautiful wife and three amazing kids. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I got to take advantage of the Marriott bathtub.
Oh, it wasn't the Marriott, but yes, the bath was
the
beautiful.
DoubleTree bathtub.
Yeah, I think you're
with
wrong
a chocolate chip cookie.
I think you're wrong on the bath thing.
Grown men don't bathe.
I'm not saying regularly.
Ever.
I agree with you.
Hot
no,
tub,
no.
yes. Jacuzzi, yes. Regular.
If you want to
standard,
mix in a bath every
no,
couple of months?
I'm sorry.
I'm in.
That's a non-starter for me,
nice
kid.
Nice relaxing bath.
There's nothing relaxing about it.
Cucumbers on the eyes.
Oh, my Lord.
The whole thing. Why not?
Oh, my Lord. So basically, you bring dinner and a drink with you into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Cucumbers, beers.
Yeah. You
now,
couldn't sit there have a bath, honestly. This sounds zero appealing to you.
No.
Warm bath.
No.
Cold beer.
It's disgusting.
Cool towel on the forehead.
More disgusting.
Eyes closed, music playing.
No.
Glass of wine.
No.
Beer. Dirty martini.
No.
Whatever.
Ugh.
Oh, those were soap bubbles.
That sounds like a...
The image of you two
that
guys...
That sounds like a half hour, 40 minutes
oh
of bliss.
Oh, my Lord. And you wait till the Giants are paying for it? Oh, honey, guess what? The Giants got me a hotel room with a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
I'll call you in a half hour. I ordered cucumbers... A glass of Merlot, and I got a small white hotel towel to cover my junk.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
Listen, I agree that you shower regularly, but every once in a while you want to mix in a bath. Just
no.
If you have like a nice 45 minutes or something. The wife took the kids to her parents for
so
a couple hours.
You decide.
Sit in the bath.
You have a free hour because your wife took the kids to her parents.
Yeah.
I can finally hop in the bath. Yeah. That's what you're thinking?
No, not necessarily, but I could see it. I haven't. I haven't in forever. But now that you mention it, it sounds nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. I hope your wife puts secret cameras in your bathroom just for that moment. Just to blackmail you.
Yeah. That's funny.
What's that, cold brew?
Cold brew.
Nobody asked me if I want nothing?
Yeah, you see, you gotta go out there and push it.
Fascinating. On the 18th floor here, they have a cold brew keg.
Yeah.
And it's free. Nice. What's that? That's coffee though, right? Is that coffee?
Yes, it's coffee.
Oh, I don't drink that. I don't drink coffee.
That's what I thought. You're not a coffee person.
No, it's disgusting. Why don't you drink it when you're taking a bath?
I would.
Yeah, you probably would.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Bath is nice.
No.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, I think you're in the minority.
I can guarantee if we put a poll out.
I think you're in the minority.
Grown men don't take baths. I'm sorry. They don't.
Regularly.
Ever.
No, not ever. That's crazy talk.
All right. Here's Mike in Farmingdale on the fan. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Craig? Welcome back. Yo, I miss these conversations, bro. Big Mac, you got to take the L on this one. Grown men do not take baths.
It's disgusting
marinating in your own filth.
No.
Even if you have a cold beer, it's gross.
I agree.
I know. You're going to take my man card away from wanting a beer in the shower? Please.
No, just an L on this one. I love you, but you got to take the L.
No,
listen, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
I am honest with you. I would lie.
No, I appreciate the honesty.
I can't remember the last time I actually took a bath. But the idea that it's like, you can't do it, it's embarrassing, men don't
do
it.
No, it's just disgusting.
Nonsense.
It's
not that disgusting.
I'm not making this like a caveman thing.
No, I get you. I'm a tough guy, you're not a tough guy. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you know your body.
Mm-hmm.
I know my body.
Right.
My body should never be in a bathtub alone.
But it's full of soap and everything.
The soap dissipates. Then you're looking at you. Look at this disgusting human being I am. I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting I'm a tough guy or anything.
Okay.
This is like, oh, manly man.
This is
men.
Just the dirtiness.
This is
of
just
it.
Men shouldn't take baths by themselves. Ugh. I chop wood, as you know.
Yes.
I chainsaw stuff.
Yes.
I build stuff. I love being outside working with my hands. That's why the shower was invented. Now, I'll take an outdoor shower. Got no problem with that.
Okay.
But I'm never taking a bath. You'll never see me in a bath, ever. And that's good
I
for
actually
you.
Have a very Trust nice me. Bathtub in my master bath. Me and my wife never use.
Right.
We have never used it.
It probably is like a laundry
and
holder.
And every time we look at it, we're like, you know, we should take a bath. We never do that.
Yeah. But,
and we never do.
And then it dawns on you. We're adults.
Yeah.
Adults don't take baths.
Children take baths. It'd be nice.
Enjoy that.
I would take a bath.
Enjoy that.
Right.
Here's Johnny in Hazlet, New Jersey. Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Hey, welcome back, Craig. Doing good, by the way. 1 week post-op from my fat surgery.
There you go. Good job.
I'm celebrating with parade food tonight. Yay me.
Nice.
Good for you.
Living the life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. C-Mac, I have to call you out on your fandom a little bit with the giant fandom.
Okay.
I grew up playing roller hockey in Queens.
Yeah.
We had three age divisions. Each division had four teams, Bruins, Islanders, Flyers, and the North Stars. My dad's protege took over a team in the senior division, and he refused to coach until they changed that Islander team to the Rangers.
That's right.
You could have done that, sir.
That's ridiculous.
Fandom.
That's ridiculous.
That's exactly right. Well played, sir. Now, I'm sure in his league, because there's, I'm sure, a lot of Giant fans there,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the guy running the league made sure either he got the Giants or, you know, his best buddy got the Giants.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that happens all the time. So you're probably a new parent in this league. So they're like, give the new guy the Eagles stuff.
It's a shirt.
No, it's most.
It's a shirt. It's not a Philadelphia Eagles jersey.
Yeah, it is.
It doesn't have Hurts on the back. It doesn't have Barkley
on the back.
No, but
it says it's got the Eagle logo.
It says
and
Eagles.
And it's got the NFL crest.
I think it had like Eagles going
Yeah, I've coached in with NFL Play 60. Yeah. I know the jersey. Yeah.
It's the blue ball.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Well, it was a red ball, but yeah. Eagles.
Well, you're an Eagle fan.
No, it's not. We were the Eagles in the Warwick.
To be fair.
Flag football.
We've had 17 people call the show today.
Yeah.
I've taken two of the 17 calls whose only purpose in calling was to question your fandom because your beautiful, innocent child is playing flag football and happened to be put on the Eagles.
And I'm supposed to tell the head of the league, I refuse.
Can't do it.
I refuse. I won't do it. I won't wear it. Yeah. I'll wear a suit on the sidelines before I'll wear this ridiculous Eagles outfit.
Okay? Yeah, that's just like Tom Landry.
That's what I should have done. That's what I should have done.
All right, they're yelling at me to take a break.
Yeah.
More of your calls coming up. We'll see if we have time to get to that big life question we have a little bit later on.
Yeah.
And more than just Harbaugh and the Giants coming up. Word is that the New York Mets want to give $50 million a year to Tucker. Go ahead.
Do it.
Go ahead. Do it. Exactly right. Stay with us. It's the Carton Show, Big Mac.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires. And they even offer, honor all manufacturers' rebates. Listen to this. They even honor competitors' rebates. With more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires, why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices. That's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Rock me like a hurricane! By the way, at 5 o'clock tonight, or just after 5 o'clock, no guarantee when we take that break, so I'm not going to lie to you. We will get into the Kyle Tucker thing and the Mets and the Yankees. So a little baseball coming up a little bit later on. All right? Okay. Give it a taste. I just don't know how you don't focus most of the show
on football.
Mike Tomlin, of course, has stepped down. He does not appear to be coaching this year, even though I think it muddies the waters, Chris, to bring up the reality that if he does decide to coach again, you're going to have to do a deal with the Steelers, they give him a draft pick. Mm-hmm. To me, whatever that deal is, you do it.
I agree.
Because that gets you a great coach.
I agree.
But that's a year away from right now, apparently. So I think you'll probably see him on some TV shows here and there. You'll get his feet wet, see if he's any good at it. Kind of like Belichick did. He was good at it, by the way.
It wasn't bad.
So see what Tomlin brings to the table in that regard. And then a year from now, all the teams like the New York Jets that think they found their quarterback, because the Jets clearly think they're going to get a quarterback in this draft. They obviously have to.
Right.
Picking number two. Don't know who that guy is yet. I don't think it's Dante Moore after what we saw him do against Indiana. But that being said, you know, are you patient enough to suck up another year of bad football to then get Mike Tomlin? Now, the answer to that is, in the moment, no. But a year from today, you bet your ass we'd do everything we can to get a Mike Tomlin.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where we're at.
That's where we are.
Atlanta seems like it's a threat for some of these jobs. Mm-hmm. I don't think Harbaugh. Tennessee seems like it's a real threat to get one of the bigger name coaches. Again, I don't think that's Harbaugh. I think at this stage, and I'm just inferring based on what everyone has told us thus far, it seems like it is the Giants' race to lose.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think so.
So I think that's where we're at.
And I don't know if you saw this, but Ian O'Connor? Yeah, he is reporting.
What does he do?
He covers, for The Athletic. I don't know if it's just Giants or...
I thought he was a newspaper writer for New York.
He was with the New York Times.
At The Athletic?
Now he's with The Athletic. He's good at what he does. He's very good at what he does.
Yeah.
And he's been on this, especially he's connected to the Giants ownership.
Go ahead.
He's reporting that John Mara also spoke to...
Oh, huh. That's interesting.
To John Harbaugh. Eli Manning.
Oh,
huh. And Brian Daboll.
Oh, is that right?
Brian Daboll.
Is that right? So
Brian Daboll.
Just so I have this right.
It's a class act, right?
Brian was a class guy.
Class guy.
Class. At 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. when I was viciously attacked by people, both on our show and online, for suggesting that you have to take me at my word, the Giants had people other than Tom Coughlin reach out to John Harbaugh, much like the Knicks did back in the day with LeBron, and I was viciously attacked. Had my character assailed. Now that Ian O'Connor tells you what I told you 2 hours and 40 minutes ago, now we believe that it happened.
Yes, that's right. That's correct. you got me on that one. Other than you were throwing out, and not to disparage any of these guys, because I respect and love them all.
Yeah.
But Victor Cruz, Plaxico Burress, Amani Toomer, there are specific reasons.
I was joking about Amani.
I understand.
I was making
that.
A point.
I understand.
With Amani.
You were making a point, but I'm saying, and I love him too.
Yes.
Specific reasons. Obviously, the Mara family goes without saying why you would have them communicating with them. Eli Manning.
Eli Manning.
He's Eli Manning.
Yeah. Maybe Brian a Hall Dable, of Famer one day.
Brian Dable specific. What did we say? What did our guy Jordan tell us is going to be the number one defining characteristic of a team that John Harbaugh is going to want to take over?
Go ahead.
The quarterback.
Right.
Brian Dable, I would think, specifically, and Ian O'Connor says it, among the voices who called John Harbaugh to give him a strong recommendation on Jackson Dart and the Giants. Brian Dable is designed to call him and tell him what kind of quarterback Jackson Dart is.
Let me say this.
Yes.
That is not just class. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Class.
Awesome.
Yep.
That Brian Dable, and it shows you that, look, he didn't work out here. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but that's the reality. But he didn't.
It came
but
to that.
Brian Dable is nothing but a football guy. And he loves Jackson Dart. You saw that after the, you know, the first game Dart played, mm-hmm, with the headbutt to each other.
Yep.
Damn near wanted to French kiss him, it looked, yep, like, right? So the reality is that that's a guy that wants the best for Jackson Dart. Because to be fair to Brian Dable, while it didn't work out here, he's always going to be connected to Jackson Dart.
Sure.
Like, if Jackson Dart has this great 15-year career, mm-hmm, and he wins a Super Bowl and has, you know, whatever, you know, 4,000-yard seasons and is the man,
yeah,
we'll always be able to tell the story that he was the guy Dable wanted.
Yep.
So they're always connected because of that.
100%.
So I give Dable a lot of credit for putting his ego aside,
yeah,
and the fact that you got to be upset that I got fired and embarrassed by the New York Giants.
Hell yeah.
To then reach out to the guy the Giants want to essentially replace, yeah, me because I want the best for the kid.
Yeah.
I have nothing but respect, no, for Brian Dable.
Absolutely.
Great guy.
Not only, I mean.
Matter of fact, hey, unnamed producer.
Yeah.
Do me a solid. Get Brian Dable on the show.
He deserves it. Because I'll be honest with you. We could say whatever he wants about a head coach. He was scapegoated by the Giants. Let's be, the reason they figured they lost, the reason they lost those games, the reason they blew those leads,
yeah,
was Brian Dable. They kept the GM. They told you the GM is doing, well, a fantastic
you
job.
You don't fire the GM built, when you collapse, well, in the fourth,
I'm,
quarter.
But I'm just saying, the GM who has just as many losses, just as many mistakes in the draft,
yeah,
he's built the young core. He's done a great job. He's leading the coaching search. Brian Dable got scapegoated as the reason the team was failing. Not only that, yeah, no, it's true.
I got to push back a little bit on that.
That's what happened. Scapegoat the reason he was failing.
I push back a little bit.
Not only that, was reckless. Like, the organization kind of allowed this conversation of reckless with the kid. The reason he was fired when he was fired is because Jackson Dart got the concussion.
Right.
And because Brian Dable had to save his ass by winning games, he was reckless with the quarterback and allowed him to, you know, called all these design runs and got him hurt. Mm-hmm. A bunch of, you know. He got a raw deal, in my estimation, from...
Fair enough.
I'm considering not gonna, he was a tandem with this GM.
I'll not argue that.
Yeah.
I'll push back on one thing that you said, because, mm-hmm, it needs to be pushed back on.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy. You don't blame the general manager...
I'm not saying you do.
...for a fourth quarter collapse. You don't.
No?
You don't blame the general manager for 5-6 one-score losses.
No?
You blame the coach.
Okay, I hear you. Do you blame the general manager...
Go ahead.
...when you lose your starting cornerback and Dante Banks has to come in... And he was your,
yes,
first pick that you traded up to,
yes,
go get, and he's incompetent and can't play the position.
Yes,
and
I
that's
do.
Part of the reason why Bo Nix was able to go up and down the field in the fourth quarter.
Yes, I
does
do.
The general manager get blamed for that?
Yes.
Okay.
But
or when you lose your star wide receiver and you're desperate for wide receiver depth, and your third
can't
round
blame either
pick,
one of them for losing
and your
Malik
third
Neighbors.
Round pick,
yeah,
your third round,
yeah,
pick is a wide receiver who can't see the field.
Yes,
in Hyatt.
Yeah.
Do you blame the GM then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But I'm not.
Do you blame the GM when the third overall pick,
yeah,
you just said had a disgusting, miserable first season?
Yes.
As a rookie?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering, do you blame the GM when you have an offensive line that doesn't function for the first 3 years with this GM when he whiffed,
well,
on his first, second draft pick, a,
yes,
number, a top 10,
yes,
pick on Evan Neal?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm just wondering when you blame the GM. You're right. That specific moment in time, okay, maybe it's more on the coach than the GM. I'm not going to,
well,
argue with you.
33-point fourth quarter is not on the GM.
It is when Dante Banks is the reason for it. When he's a
the
lot of the reason for it.
The coach didn't have to play him?
He's the backup. He had nobody else to play. They started picking guys off the scrap heap to play
Joe
instead
Shane
of Banks.
Joe deserves a lot of responsibility for the failures here.
All right.
But I don't think Brian Dable got scapegoated this year.
He was he got all the blame. The general manager's here hiring the next head coach.
And he's going to have no authority when he hires,
well,
the next head coach.
That's a fair point.
Right?
Yeah, it sounds that way. Well, I mean, they didn't know it was going to be John Harbaugh.
No, that's true. That's true, too. That is true. Here's Matt in Brick, New Jersey. On the Fan, Big Matt, how you doing there, buddy?
What's up, guys? How are you today?
Great.
What's up, Matt?
There's a lot to take in on this show today. It's awesome.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Harbaugh's not going to go to the Giants because it's a dumpster fire. It's literally a gas.
Well, the idea is that he changes that.
Yeah, he
that's
believes,
the idea.
He believes right. he is the right. fire so, blanket to any problem.
Yeah.
Right. So, rip trap going anywhere. Then you got, I don't know, do you have Scott Boras as your manager? Or whatever, Boras is your manager. The bad takes, we can't do this. The Giants are just a dump.
The Giants are not a dump. No, no. The Giants, you're right.
They
the
have
Giants
been,
have
yeah.
been
yes.
a dumpster fire for the better part of the last decade. Yeah. Sans the one playoff win against right. the Minnesota Vikings. That's factual. Yeah. Nobody can argue that. But the cupboard's not bare.
Right.
You have a quarterback that every one of you guys believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now a great opportunity to bring in a successful, proven coach to take the clay that is here
yeah.
and to mold it into a beautiful
yeah.
vase.
And but what is he talking about? It's not just me and you. Jordan came in here from Jordan to Diana Rossini to Adam Schefter and everybody in between
yeah.
has the Giants as the favorite to land
yeah,
the guy.
So chill
like,
out.
Like the idea
he's
that some, it's some bad take and the Giants
don't get
some
upset. Don't get upset.
No, you got me all riled up.
Don't get upset. It's one caller.
I know, but it's not some ridiculous bad take. This
to
Giants,
the caller it is.
Well, it's, okay.
To you, it's not.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I know.
It's not going to change whether or not you get him. But you better get him on Thursday.
Yeah, you better get him on Thursday.
Because Tennessee's calling.
I have to admit, right? I disagree with your premise that this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Until they lose him.
Oh, boy.
Because if they lose
him. I don't think they will.
If they lose him after they pulled out Brian Daboll and Eli Manning.
Like, I can tell you this.
The entire Mara family.
So I got here with Boom in 2007. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Came back in 20 with Evan.
Yep.
And now with you in 2026,
yes.
right? I've never seen the New York Giants do this to get a head coach. 20 years. This is, and obviously Coughlin was here a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I've never seen the New York Giants act in this manner to woo a head coach to come here. Never. And for good reason.
Yeah.
But
that
now.
That speaks to part of the caller's
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
A little bit of a dumpster
so
fire.
So it's a bit of a dumpster fire, but I don't think it's a situation where they can't be a wild card team next year.
I totally agree.
I believe that. The Eagles yeah. are in flux. Obviously, they're still the best team in the division.
Yeah.
Washington. Who knows what Jaden Daniels is coming back, you know, off the multiple injuries.
No Cliff
and a new offensive coordinator there.
Yeah.
So you worry about that. The Dallas Cowboys are never going to be good, it seems like. Although Dak Prescott's statistically had a great year.
Yeah.
You don't worry about the Cowboys that much. I know the Cowboys have owned the Giants recently.
Yep.
But the reality is that there is no reason with really good coaching and getting the right draft pick or two or
yep.
three
mm-hmm.
and one or two free agent signings while the New York Giants are not a 10-win team. And a 10-win team gives you a chance to be a playoff team.
I think they are a 10-win team next year.
Great.
I think they are. If you get the coach. If you get the coach, I think
yeah.
they are a 10-win team next year.
What do you think Kevin Stefanski's doing for the next 48 hours? And I say that because he knows that his main competition for the Giant job
mm-hmm.
is in New Jersey with the Giants. Does he take a bath and lay low? Does he go to Tennessee and say, all right, Tennessee, what's your best
yeah,
offer?
Yeah.
Does he go to Miami? Does
he
just
everywhere.
Wait and see what happens first? Because like Jordan Schultz said, and you've said a few times as well, if everyone's waiting for Harbaugh to go first,
right.
The thing I disagree with Jordan on, I think it's dominoes after that. I think it's pop, 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 pop. I do not think it's a six-week thing where it takes that long to get those other jobs
yeah,
filled.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I was surprised he said that, but maybe it is. They want it drawn out, but I would think, like, they're going to all be interviewing, all like you mentioned Kevin Stefanski. He's going to know which job he prefers. Like, the minute,
yeah,
I mean, you would think, because that's what he's doing. Right?
He's
interviewing
that.
With every team.
I would take
I think he's the perceived second best candidate on the market
I guess part of me thinks the Dolphin job is a good job, but then I'm thinking about the talent on that roster, and
yeah.
I don't think it's a good job.
No, it's not.
And obviously the situation, you know, it's similar to Russell Wilson in Denver. Are you going to bite the bullet for a year and take an $90 million cap hit on Tua just to, you know, reset?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denver Broncos did it and got lucky and got the right quarterback for them, Bo Nix. That's not the best way to do it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee just seems like a poop show. Like, do I really want to be in Tennessee with the Titans? I know a new stadium and all that, but
if you believe in Cam Ward, that's the question. Jordan said he looked
like
a top 10.
I do believe
10.
In Cam Ward. I like Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of the other jobs. Like, if I was a coach, where would I want to go? Man, South Beach is alluring.
Yeah.
Atlanta's not. Atlanta's a dump. Atlanta's not even a good professional sports town. It's a college football town.
Yeah.
It's not a Falcons town. So great strip clubs with wings. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's what Patrick Ewing told me.
And they got some talent. Their defense at the, you know, down the stretch. He's the best running back in football, arguably. He's that good. The tight end really started to emerge this year by the last couple weeks. They've got some talent.
I don't want to go to Pittsburgh. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to Pittsburgh.
So I'm trying to, like, if I'm the top candidate right now, or one of the top two.
I think it's the Giant job.
And I love New Jersey. New Jersey gets a bad rap. New Jersey's a gorgeous state. Just don't go to Newark and you're fine, or Camden for that matter, or Elizabeth.
I mean, if you believe in Mendoza, you go to Vegas. Vegas and Mendoza. That's
I can't go to Vegas, but
no,
yeah.
No, you can't go to Vegas.
Yeah, I'd have to say no to Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is too much, you know, troubling temptation in Vegas.
Sure.
Like, I haven't gambled in 8 years, and I'm going to move to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
You know, I was in rehab with a girl who actually moved to Vegas after rehab, gambling rehab. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you keep, no you keep in touch?
Yeah, we do, actually. She's in Texas now. Didn't work out.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't. She recognized.
Recognized it and moved.
She was like, you know what? Craigie was right.
I would imagine that's a very difficult
place.
That
is tough.
It's tough.
Like, because how do you not gamble in Vegas?
You go to the supermarket. There are slots in the.
No joke.
No joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't go to Vegas.
No.
No. I don't want to go to Tennessee, to be honest. Although I've only been to Tennessee once in my life.
I would love to go to Nashville. I've never been, but I would love to go.
Because you like Chris Stapleton.
I do like Chris Stapleton.
Yeah,
it's a fun atmosphere.
Have you? You've never been there?
I've never been to Nashville.
Oh, you got to go.
Yeah.
But you got to go for the chicken sandwiches.
The hot chicken?
Yep. You know about it, right?
I've heard of it.
Famous.
Yeah. Famous hot
chicken. For their hot chicken sandwiches.
Famous for their hot chicken.
And country music.
Right, of
course. That as well.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah.
The history of Nashville, Tennessee.
I would get the sense that if you went to any random live music place in Nashville, you're hearing a star. Wouldn't you think that? Like, you're hearing someone just... For whatever the reason is, hasn't been discovered yet or made it big yet. I would think live music venue in Nashville, you're getting wow.
I would go in there expecting that, but I bet you it's not that.
You don't think so?
How could it be?
I think it is, though.
How could it be?
Kind of feel like that's what it's all about.
You think all the country musicians just go to Nashville?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I guess.
And the songwriters? Like, if you were a great songwriter.
Yeah. Why?
In the 60s, you'd go to Detroit for Motown.
Yeah, but that's a different...
Right?
It's a different world.
Wouldn't you go to Nashville now?
I don't
get
think
discovered
you'd have to go
as a
anywhere.
Songwriter?
No.
No.
What about Nashville?
Well, isn't that where country music lives?
Yeah, but do you think like just country music executives are just roaming the streets of
Nashville,
unlike anywhere else?
I think so.
Okay.
Like if you went to a random bar in New York, you're not getting great country music.
No, but.
Right. Nashville, I mean, you probably are. How do you think they all get discovered? Nashville. Open mic night.
If you say so.
Yeah, that's how Taylor Swift got discovered.
And open mic night in Nashville, Tennessee?
Yeah, and then she wrote a song for like Loretta Lynn or something.
Okay. That doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right
no.
at all, does it?
It does not.
Yeah, Hank Williams Jr. had to write a song for him. And he's like, you should sing this yourself.
Yeah,
it doesn't
make
sense for me to sing it.
No.
Yeah. Here's Ralphie, out of Bridge Crossing. Ralphie, what do you got, kiddo?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Of course.
First of all, the chemistry between you two are great. I love it.
Yeah.
Really quick. Nashville has to be in your bucket list. It has to be.
Yeah. For the chicken.
I spent 2.5 hours in the Johnny Cash Museum, and I still didn't see it all. It was a great city. But
let me ask you a question. When you go to the Johnny Cash Museum, is there proof that he killed a man in Reno or no?
No, there's not.
Damn it.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but nevertheless, listen, I'm 70 years old. I've been a Jet fan for 60 years. Aaron Glenn is not going anywhere. So having said that, with the cap space that they have, and the draft equity that they have, I mean, by default, they should put together a competitive roster where they could at least be 500 and then move on.
Okay, so let me interrupt you for one second. Let me ask you one clear question, because on merit, you're not wrong, except for one question. Who's my quarterback?
Well, obviously, it's not going to be Mendoza, because the Raiders are going to... I like the kid from LSU. They're going to get a quarterback in the draft, whether it's, you know, they're going to get somebody.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to nurture the kid.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go through his growing pains.
Which I don't mind. I think fans can tolerate a tough rookie season if you see some glimpses that the kid can play.
Yeah.
Like, Jackson Dart wasn't perfect, obviously, this year.
No.
He showed that he could play. He showed that maybe he should have started, but, you know, you make a 30, 20, 40, whatever million-dollar commitment to a veteran quarterback, that guy's always going to start in that scenario.
And Andrew Thomas wasn't healthy.
Yeah,
for the first
so you're missing your best offensive lineman,
you
right?
You want to make sure you protect the kid.
Yeah, so what's interesting, though, what he's saying is the thing I disagree with that he's saying. Look, I thought Sauce Gardner was always overrated, to be honest. Obviously, Quinnen Williams was the real deal. He wasn't having a great year, to be fair, but he's a great defensive lineman and was for the Jets in the few years that he was here. I don't know that the New York Jets are just a couple pieces away. I don't feel that way.
They're not.
Like, the New York Jets, if we're going to be honest about it, I know they celebrated the fact that all five offensive linemen started every game, and there's value to that, obviously,
right,
having health on the offensive line. And they did have a couple, you know, good picks, you know, young guys playing in the offensive line, so I'm okay with that. We have Garrett Wilson. No guarantee that Breece Hall is coming back. They haven't tagged him yet, and if they don't, he's gone for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest about it. We have, of the 22 starters on a football field, how many guys right now would you say are the New York Jets you feel really great about? Six? Seven?
Yeah.
Right?
Max.
Not more than that.
No.
So this is, yet again for the Jets, this is a full-on rebuild.
Yep.
Which is why you trade Quinnen Williams, which is why you trade
Sauce Gardner.
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
And get three first-round picks and a two as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a
couple of wide receivers who have been able to get some separation. They can't catch a damn thing.
Yeah, like Michi can't hold on to a ball. Yeah. It gets open.
Yeah.
So maybe if you teach him how to catch a ball, like, he's a valuable number three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep.
But they're going to try to do it the old-fashioned way. Build through the draft.
Yep.
You know, maybe acquire a couple free agents, but then you have to play that game. And I hate this game because I can't win it. The New York Jets, outside of overpaying for someone, is not a top destination for a free agent. Just not.
No.
So if you're a top 30 free agent this offseason, the last team you want to go to right now, outside of, again, being overpaid, the Jets.
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, money talks. It depends on, you know, guys
right.
still sign.
Outside of overpaying a guy.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not a destination many people go to. And what do you do with the quarterback? Because say you draft the quarterback, right? He said they could have enough pieces to be 500. You're going to draft one of these quarterbacks and be 500 with this Jet team next year?
I don't believe so.
And then even if you are, no. like, I mean. I-